Well, we are continuing our series, working through the Gospel of John. We are coming to the end of chapter 3. And I said at the beginning that John, in his Gospel, the Gospel that the Holy Spirit carried him along to write, as 2 Peter states, is one of the most theological out of the four Gospels. And in some ways, it is the most theological. Today is a kind of a testimony of that. Today, we're going to revisit the testimony of John the Baptist, and some of the things that John declares to us is something that I think we would do well to pay attention to. So we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 36, but we're going to kind of focus primarily on verses 25 through 36. But at this point in chapter 3, the Apostle John now reintroduces a very familiar witness, and that is John the Baptist, and he testifies about who Christ is and his mission to even a greater degree than he already did in chapter 1. John the Baptist, by divine revelation, confirmed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah at his baptism, as the Trinity, the triune God, revealed himself to the people that were there with two of the human senses, through sight and through hearing. Jesus is the Messiah, the only Son sent by the Father, and John reminds us of that here today. But John says some very deep things, and it's very interesting as we walk through this text. We're going to look at a couple things, and highlighting verse 34 in the Trinitarian structure of that actual verse, it's very beautiful. But John the Baptist also reminds us that Jesus is the one who brings eternal life through his life, death, and resurrection. He is the bridegroom of the church. And he reminds us, as we are part, believers in Christ Jesus, are a part of that wedding party. We are part of the wedding, the bride that will be brought home at Christ's second coming for the marriage supper of the Lamb, that we should not allow the wedding party to be divided by arguments and discussions. And so we are knit together through the blood of Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross. And even here, John alludes to the unity of the body that God desires for the body. And so we are encouraged to look at Jesus and understand that each one of us is fallen, and we are born separated from God, and we are in need of a Savior like Jesus. He reminds us that we are born in original sin and that we need Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so it's a good reminder to us, especially as we have celebrated last week the risen and living Savior whom we serve with all of our heart, soul, and mind. I pray that we would respond to this text. Respond with a grateful heart. Respond with the joy of the Lord as our strength. But maybe for those here today who haven't quite made that leap of faith, may a miracle happen here today, and may you too believe and receive Christ, not only for the forgiveness of your sins, but also for the wonderful gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Stand with me as we read from John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 22 to the end of the chapter, but again, we're going to kind of focus more on 25 through 36 there. Reading in Christ's name. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into Judea, the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing at Enon near Salim, because the water was plentiful there and the people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put into prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, he whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ,' but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, and I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful testimony of John the Baptist and how we are all reminded that we need a Savior like Jesus. But we are also reminded of that wonderful imagery as Jesus as the bridegroom and the great love, mercy, and compassion he extends to his bride, the church. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be stirred. Open our ears and our hearts to what you have prepared. I pray also that every word that proceeds from my mouth would be from you and not from me. May you be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so the first thing that we see in this text here is that John reveals that Jesus is the Messiah, the bridegroom of the church. John reveals that Jesus is the Messiah, the bridegroom of the church. Starting in verse 25, now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over the purification. Now, this word discussion is not a light word. In fact, it literally means to express forceful differences. So it wasn't a polite discussion. It was an argument. And so John responds in a way that we really need to pay attention to, especially in light of their topic, which was baptism. Now, I find it very interesting that even before Christ died, there's an argument about baptism even within the people who are looking to Jesus. But John responds in a way that we should pay attention to. He doesn't allow the differences of opinion to divide the church. He doesn't allow the differences of opinion to even set one group of disciples against another. What does he say? All things are given to us from above, and not one thing can be given to us unless it's given from heaven. And then what does he do? He points people to Jesus and the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of souls. And so there's probably a little competitiveness in here. There's certainly some pride going on in this intense discussion, as the Greek language reminds us. John reminds all of us of his ministry as a forerunner, someone who comes before Jesus, who prepares the way for the Messiah. And so John uses this wonderful imagery, and I think it's among the most beautiful in all of Scripture, and it is the bridegroom imagery, that Jesus is the bridegroom and that we are the bride. And as I've explained to the confirmation students up in Lake Norden and also in Badger, that Jesus as the bridegroom will never force himself on anyone. And if you think about marriage, we are very much like the wife, and Jesus wants us to willingly surrender ourselves to him as he draws us by the power of the Holy Spirit working through his word. It's a beautiful picture. And I know that men are called as not only to be spiritual leaders of their home, but to love their wives as Christ has loved the church. Christ placed all of the needs of the church before his own. And this is our calling. And John walks in this imagery, doesn't he? He describes himself as the bridegroom's friend. He describes himself as the best man in a wedding. Have you ever wondered where that tradition came from? It comes from the language used here. John is the best man who prepares the way for the bridegroom, for Jesus. And as Jesus came to give his life, his death, and his resurrection as a means of providing salvation to any and all who would call on his name, this is what John focuses his disciples' attention on. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the differences of opinions between two groups. I want that to sink in just a little bit. It should never divide us. We are to look to Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. John continues, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. And so John's joy rests in the arrival of Jesus and what his ministry will provide for all who call on his name. John reminds us and all believers that we should rejoice in the birth, the life, the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and that is our primary focus. To focus on the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the making of disciples in all nations. John's prayer should be our prayer, shouldn't it? That Jesus should increase in us and our opinions, and our pride should decrease. That Jesus, and through the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling in the heart and mind of the believer, begins to birth those three qualities that Paul reminds us of that are instrumental in unity of the church: gentleness, humility, with patience. That's my prayer here today, that those three qualities would be birthed in each one of our hearts as we look to Jesus and we seek to proclaim and to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ as followers of Jesus Christ and not just converts, that we would not allow our pride or our arrogance to get in the way of what God wants to do in this body here. May God unite us through the power of his Holy Spirit. May he increase, and may we decrease. The next thing, the last thing that we'll see, is that John reveals Christ is God, who reveals the triune God and his plan of salvation. Christ is God who reveals the triune God and his plan of salvation. We're going to pick it up at verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. Christ has the name that is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. And this is what John wants us to understand. That if we allow our pride, our arrogance, and our own opinion to divide the church, we are speaking not in an heavenly way, but in an earthly way. Putting the opinion of men and our, maybe sometimes our own opinion, over that of the will of God and the unity that he calls us to. He, Jesus, who comes from above, is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. And here's this wonderful Trinitarian thing. For he, Jesus, whom God the Father has sent, utters the words of God the Father, for he, Jesus, gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And so as John the Baptist continues in his testimony about Christ, he stresses the salvation that is in Christ Jesus and the condition that all of us are born into, that each one of us is born separated from God, and we need a Savior like Jesus. And so it's kind of life and death, isn't it? Isn't it? If we are each all born separated from God with this infection of original sin, and each one of us is in need of a Savior like Jesus, isn't it life and death? And if it is life and death, that's why our opinions and our arguments don't mean very much. That we focus on the main things: the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the unity of the body, and the bond of peace, as Paul reminds us, through those three qualities: gentleness, humility, and patience. As I'm sitting here looking at my sermon and veering from my notes, I thought about Philippians chapter 2, where we are to be like Christ and to look to Christ's example, because Christ placed all of everyone else's needs first. And so we are to look at each other with your needs are more important than mine, and vice versa. That we are to place everyone else's needs before that of our own, because that's what Christ has done for his church, for us. And he wants us to walk in that same thing. Jesus said, you will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. How we have allowed opinion to separate this church, capital C, the church universal. But as we are reminded of this great gift of salvation through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, he also reminds us that we serve a triune God in verse 34. Jesus, whom the Father has sent, utters the words of the Father, for Jesus gives the Spirit without measure. And that's the great promise that we have as believers in Christ Jesus, that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and through the body of believers, the presence of God dwells among and in us and empowers us to carry out the ministry of the church. And the ministry of the church is the ministry of reconciliation. It's pretty hard to carry out the ministry of reconciliation if we're divided. And so that's my prayer for this congregation, that Christ continues to knit us together in a way that only he can. John saw this huge argument between his disciples and Christ's disciples, and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. He wouldn't even go there. He didn't even want to talk about the differences of baptism. All he wanted to do was talk about Jesus Christ and the salvation that he provides. John's words echo very much that of what Jesus said earlier in this chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have the gift of eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son. John said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. We need Jesus. We have this infection that we are each born with, and by Christ's stripes we are healed. It is through his life, death, and resurrection that he has provided the gift of eternal life and the salvation that he so richly provides. And it is the church's call, responsibility, to preach this message of reconciliation not only to the unbelieving world, but to remind ourselves as believers in Christ Jesus that we are all part of the same wedding, aren't we? We are all the bride of Christ, and we need to operate as a body, not an amputated one, but a unified one, so that people can see the love of Jesus Christ flowing in and through this congregation, in and through your life as a believer in Christ Jesus for the salvation of souls. As I asked Zechariah to think of something to put on the sign, I used the statement that's on there around our house quite a bit, and I think I used it a lot in confirmation, that Christ has called us to be that walking, talking billboard for Jesus Christ. That everything we choose, everything we do, glorifies Jesus and points to him and his love. And John, in his incredible witness to us, John the Baptist, in chapter 1 of this gospel and in these final words of chapter 3, reminds us that Jesus is indeed the author and the finisher of our faith, and that we are to look to him in the proclamation of the gospel and the ministry of reconciliation for creating and making disciples, so that those who call on his name will endure to the end. And they will stand before Christ and see him face to face as they receive the fulfillment of that gift also at Christ's second coming. This is the hope of the believer. It is the reality of a salvation that already is and not yet has come to be. And as the church is called to be one church, one body, I'd like to end, if you would allow me, with Paul's reminder in Ephesians chapter 4. As John reminded his disciples to focus upon Christ and the ministry that he has entrusted them to, Paul reminds us of the ministry that Christ has entrusted us to. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is my prayer for this congregation And this is my prayer for the church around the world. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you for this testimony of John the Baptist. I thank you of his reminder to focus on the important things, to not to get caught up on our own opinion or our own pride sometimes and how that divides people. But John reminds us that you seek a unified bride, a unified body, a unified church. And I know that that begins in the mirror. May we focus on the greatest gift this universe has ever seen, the salvation that is provided through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And may the believers in Christ, the body of Christ, the church, carry out the call to minister the ministry of reconciliation through the person and work of Jesus Christ. May you empower each one of us and all us together corporately to accomplish this call. May you increase and may we decrease. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.